95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1, Los Angeles.
It's upon the hour to come amongst you and amaze you with absolute incredible out-of-this-world type sounds. Look out, here we go.
Good morning, Apple Scruffs.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
And welcome to another edition of America's longest-running Beatles show.
I'm Ringo.
I'm Paul.
I'm George.
I'm John.
Breakfast with the Beatles.
Is he dead?
Sit you down, Father. Rest you.
On 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's classic rock.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
It started in Liverpool, England.
Hey.
Welcome to Slagger, featuring Dennis Opitz.
One, two, three, four.
And here's your host, Chris Carter.
This is Paul McCartney saying, this is where it's at, Chris. Take it.
Good morning, Apple Scruffs. It is September 15th, the last Sunday of summer 2013, and to prove it, high 90s in the valley today. Equally as hot are today's Breakfast with the Beatles guests, engineer Mark. The last hour, Denny Lane will be joining us. You know Denny, he was in the Moody Blues and a band called Wings. And the first hour, we'd like to welcome the great Billy J. Kramer to Breakfast with the Beatles. Billy J. Kramer, look at you up at 9 o'clock on
good
a Sunday morning.
Chris.
How are you?
I'm great. Really great.
We've never had you on as a guest on this show, and we are honored and privileged
to have you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Billy's signing autographs today from 10 to 5 at the Rock and Roll Autograph Show at the Westin Los Angeles Airport Hotel. You were there yesterday as well?
Yes, I was there yesterday.
Does your hand hurt from all those autographs, Billy?
It's one of those things that you learn to do, and it's one, you know.
Did you have the same autograph that you've always had? Like, if you look back, you know, into the 60s, did you sign it the same way?
No, I didn't. It's changed over the years.
It's
been pretty consistent over, I would say, the last 15. But earlier on, you know, you mess about trying to find a good one, you know.
Yeah. People change their autographs
and
over
I've,
the years.
You know, played with it in the early days till I found something that I thought. Because my handwriting's terrible, actually.
We've heard that, Billy, yeah. Yes. Billy's got a brand new album out called I Won the Fight, which is great, by the way. We're going to play a couple of tracks.
Thank you very much.
We had your old friend Frida Kelly sitting in that chair last Sunday.
Yes, Frida Kelly. I was at the showing of a movie.
Good old Frida.
Last week. Good old Frida. You know, she's an amazing lady, very down to earth. Just, she told me a few things about me and that I didn't know.
That you didn't know.
It's very funny because my wife actually said to her, you know, my husband won't remember, but I'm going to ask you a question. Can you remember the girls who ran Billy's fan club? Because he can't remember. And she said yes, and she knew them.
She knew by name.
Yes.
So she kind of worked for you guys as well because she worked for Brian.
Oh, yeah, and she
told
me different instances where I came into the picture, you know.
Her story is so interesting, you know, just as a teenage girl, you know, who went to see the band at the Cavern to working for Brian Epstein.
Yes.
You were working for British Railways, right, at the time when you had your first encounter from Epi.
Yeah, when I first had my, yes, that's right, yeah. I was doing a lot of shows around Liverpool, you know, the same as the Beatles. I was doing the Cavern and Aintree Institute and Litherland Town Hall. All in fun places, and that's when I first met Brian, and, you know.
The beautiful thing for you was that not only did you meet Brian and become, you know, a client, so to speak, you got this great feed of Lennon-McCartney songs that went your way, which was, you know, a great way to kick off your career.
I couldn't have asked for a better start.
No.
You know, and it's funny, but like there was one picture, photograph in the Frida film that really got to me was they showed this still of the Cavern exactly as it was. And I went right back to, believe it or not, the first rehearsal I ever had was at the Cavern. And there was no one there, but John Lennon sat there.
Really?
And watching and critiquing. And it came back, you know. And, you know, I had a great start. You know, it's like Brian called me one day and he said, you know, I want you to come into the office. And I said, why? He said, well, come, get here as quick as you can. And I got to Names in Liverpool and John was sat there. And he said, John's got a suggestion. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, why don't you call yourself Billy J? I'd recorded Do You Want to Know a Secret and it was just about to come out. And he said, you know, just Billy Kramer's just too plain, Billy. He said, why don't you add a J? And it'll be something that people can hitch onto more
easily. Yeah, yeah.
And let's face it, that was a great suggestion. And it worked.
And it worked. John Lennon. He liked the letter J, you know? Yeah. He was used to it himself.
Yeah.
So how were the Lennon-McCartney songs presented to you? Did they give you, like, a demo tape, or did you go listen to the Beatles do them? How did it work?
You know, it's the first one, Brian gave me a tape of John and just on an old Ludwig spool singing it. And he said, I'm sorry about the quality of the tape, Billy, but I did it in the quietest room in the building. And then he flushed the toilet. And that was Do You Want to Know a Secret. That to me, I was doing a week with them in a place called Bournemouth. It was my 20th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And he happened to be reading The Melody Maker. And he said, you never guess, Billy. I said, what? He said, we just entered the charts in America. And by the way, I've got a song for you. And I said, are you going to play it? And he said, no, he said, the next time you're at Abbey Road, I'll come along and play it to you. And I said, come on. And it was my 20th birthday that day, and that night Brian threw a party in the hotel, and I said, come on, John, I can't wait till the next time. Let me hear this song, man. And but he turned up, I thought they're getting so hot, you know, but he turned up at Abbey Road, and I was just in a room with him, and he played Bed to Me, and I thanked him, and for thinking about me and all that kind of stuff. And then he said, I want to run something by you. Tell me what you think of this next song. And he played I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I went, can I have that one?
And he said, we'll put Bad to Me on the B-side.
He said, no, we're keeping that one for ourselves. You know.
He knew what he was doing, that John Lennon. So,
you know, it's funny because, like, he came running into the studio one day he says, you got to record the song. It's a great song, and it was I'm in Love. And we had about 15 minutes left of studio time. And it was, in them days, it was hard to get studio time. And we just put two rhythm tracks down. And believe it or not, we shelved it and never thought about it. And then years later, EMI put it on this box set. And I thought it was a bit cheap of them to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
it wasn't finished.
It wasn't finished. And the only reason they put it on was because John and I were bantering between each other.
Mm-hmm.
He's going, you fool, you sound like Adam Faith, Billy, and stuff like that, you know. And there was a lot more said that they didn't put on it, you know. So when I got round to doing this CD, I thought...
You covered it again.
I covered it again. I thought it would be a good, nice thing to do.
Well, let's kick it off with your very first single we talked about, Do You Want to Know a Secret?
Right.
Spin that. We'll take a break. And if anybody out there has any questions for Billy J. Kramer, give us a ring, 800-955-KLOS. Here is Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas, 95.5-KLOS. The Beatles, I'll Be On My Way, live at the BBC right here, 95.5-KLOS, as we hang with Billy J. Kramer, who did Do You Want to Know a Secret right before that. That was the B-side, so we played you and then the Beatles,
yeah.
A and B-side. We're very clever here on Breakfast with the Beatles.
That's the first time I've heard it, believe it or not.
What, the Beatles version?
Yeah,
that's from Live at the BBC, which they have a new version coming out here in November, Live at the BBC 2. With more hits from the BBC and a lot of stage banter, apparently 23 tracks of banter to look forward to from John Paul George and Ringo. As we hang with the great Billy J. Kramer, we're going to take a quick break. If you have a question for Billy, our number, 800-955-KLOS. Stick around. 95.5 KLOS, Breakfast with the Beatles, as we hang with Billy J. Kramer. We just heard Bad to Me. Thanks for coming in again, Billy.
Thank you.
So, my goodness, we've been getting a lot of phone calls for you. But before we take those, I'm going to talk to you some more. You saw the Zombies the other night, did you?
Yes. I'm a big fan of the Zombies, and I'm big friends with them. So whenever they're around and I get a chance, I go to see them. I think they're great. You know, Colin Blunstone still has this amazing voice.
And they still have all their hair, but nobody has hair as great as you, Billy J. Kramer.
Really?
People on the radio, you know, listening can't tell, but Billy has got one heck of a head of hair. Girls,
thank you.
I gotta tell you, you can look at them on Facebook if you like. But yeah,
well,
just
I love
to
people to go
to.
I love people to go to my Facebook. You know.
Oh well,
you know it's funny because I don't. Some people don't think I'm still around, and I'm well around.
Hey, you certainly are around. The Zombies are around. Even the Quarrymen are still playing.
Sure,
it's amazing. I mean, the Zombies started what in like 1962. The Quarrymen started in like 57,
right.
And still playing rock and roll. And you still play rock and roll. You have a new album out.
I have a new album out. I love doing what I do. I think it's great to be able to still do it after all these years. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, nobody thought rock and roll would ever last, you know, longer than a couple of years, and here we are in 2013 and Paul McCartney is doing almost 3-hour sets.
Well, you know,
music. I mean, who would have thought?
You know, I always say I'm very lucky to have done something my whole life that I love to do. A lot of people don't get that opportunity.
No, and you're still doing it.
Yes.
You know, that's the beauty. You started real early, too. I mean, you were putting out singles in 1963.
I know.
Now, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, well, you know, it's funny. What I'm glad about with the CD, believe it or not, is it's a fine line you walk on when you put out new material, and you're always concerned how people are going to receive it, because I've seen people sort of like not do too well with, you know, but we've done these songs live at like Beatlefest in New Jersey and Beatlefest in Chicago, and I've been amazed at the response from the fans.
Well, they are just that, Billy. They're fans, and
but they've been really into the music, which, you know, is a great feeling.
And the folks that do go to these autograph sessions and these Beatle conventions, it they're a built-in audience. You don't really have to, I mean, you have to win them over in the end, but they're coming into the party, so to speak, you know, already a fan. So, you know, that's a good audience to have.
That's a good audience, but, you know, some people like to hear nothing else but that, you know.
They're afraid of new stuff.
And I will always, you know, I always say this, you know, I think it's an artist's duty to play the things that made them popular. You know, I will always do my hits for as long as I'm in the business, but I will also do new stuff, too.
Yeah, it's just a matter of putting them in at the right time
and the right place.
And not too much, you know. Here's our whole, you know, here's side one of our new album doesn't always go over well with folks.
Oh, no,
you know?
I mean, I know people who've gone out there and based a tour on a new album, and it's...
Yes, there was a group called Yes that did that for an album called Tales from Topographic Oceans, which we won't go into right now, will we? But I do want to play this particular song called From Liverpool with Love.
Right.
And then I want to talk about what you talk about in the song about Brian after the song.
Sure.
And then maybe take a couple of questions from our listeners.
Absolutely.
Brand new music from Billy J. Kramer right here on Breakfast with the Beatles. Take it. 95.5 KLOS Breakfast with the Beatles. Billy J. Kramer from the album I Won the Fight from Liverpool with Love. Nice track there, Billy.
Thank you.
You got everybody in there.
Yeah.
Even Brian Epstein not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's talk about that real quick.
Well, you know, I was about at the time when Brian was going knocking on doors in London, and I would see him coming back and gigs in the evening.
Just a little home recreation.
And, you know, I would see him look very dejected, and a lot of people don't realize that it wasn't a great advantage to come from Liverpool back then. You know, I always felt that there was a brick wall built around it, and they didn't take too kindly to us. And Brian went down, and he pounded the pavements, and eventually got the Beatles a record deal. And to me, he brought the biggest rock and roll band the world has ever known and will ever know. There will never be anything like them again. There is a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for non-performers.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody deserves to be in there more than what he does.
I'm with you right there. Everybody agree there?
Yes.
You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the Beatles brought so much great music, so much love, and they changed the world. And, if you know, Brian, to me, was the best representative that could have been from Liverpool. And he should be in there. I think it's ridiculous that he isn't.
Let's talk to Little Steven about that, Mark. Mm. Right? He's got pull, right, with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Brian was a great guy to, as a manager. Was he a great manager?
He was a great manager.
He was always there for you when
always
you needed him.
Always there for me. He was very. He would come to shows, to tell you the truth, unannounced, and he would come backstage afterwards with his notepad and say, "I didn't like this, but I liked this. And I didn't like the lighting, and I didn't like what you wore."
And you were very close with Brian. Didn't you guys go on, like, to New York together?
We came to New York, yes, before the Beatles appeared.
I mean, everybody always talks about, you know, Brian and John going to Spain, but you went to New York with them, right?
They never mentioned that, though.
I'm mentioning it right here on Breakfast with the Beatles. Everything was okay, right?
We had a great time. Yeah. We had a great time.
That's what I thought. Let's take a couple of phone calls, yeah? Want to take a phone call?
Absolutely.
Billy? Go ahead, Mark. Who do you got first?
Peter.
Beatle Peter, are you there?
Still here, my friend.
Say hi to Billy J. Kramer.
Well, hello, Billy J. Kramer. Hello. How you doing?
I'm very well, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to L.A. again.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let me ask you something. You know, I always thought that one of the biggest tragedies in rock and roll, at least the English country of England rock and roll, was the destruction of the Cavern Club.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, why did the city of Liverpool do that? And furthermore, what did it do to you after all the sessions that you personally witnessed, the Beatles, the Foremost, Cilla Black, Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, God bless Rory, and of course you, what did it do to you emotionally to see that happen?
Well, you know, it's so strange because I thought it was completely idiotic, but we had a lot of stupid politicians in power at the time. And also, you know, it amazed me that I took my wife to Liverpool when we first got together, and she wanted to see my school and where I played and things like that. And we went into Liverpool, and the only thing there then was a small plaque on the wall said, "For four lads who rocked the world." And my wife is American, and she couldn't believe. And myself, I thought it was always ridiculous, because I always thought they should have had streets named after them.
Sure.
And in the beginning, they didn't. They have now. And the whole thing about the Cavern, you know, I didn't get it, you know. I'll tell you the truth. When they rebuilt it, and it is the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little narrower, but apart from that, it's the same. They invited me to come back and appear there, and I couldn't believe that the people I invited were people who had nothing to do with the Cavern in the early days. They were in, like, dinner jackets, and the wives had, you know, long dresses on, and I thought it was, you know, totally stupid. You know,
they didn't recreate the smell, did they, of the Cavern Club? Did they keep that? No.
And, you know, the Cavern Club to me was a place that, you know, I always say to people, you know, if you didn't see the Beatles at the Cavern, you never saw them.
You didn't see the Beatles.
You know, because, I mean, people in America saw them on it.
They saw that ridiculous live, you know, this Shea Stadium and Hollywood Bowl, which was great shows,
was
I'm sure,
great,
but you couldn't hear it. It wasn't intimate like the Cavern.
You know,
where
I mean,
you could
it's
hear
like,
everything.
You know, like I remember my early days when I was first starting a group off, and Bob Buller said, you know, next week we have a band called the Beatles. And I'd never heard of them. There'd never been a mention in the press, nothing. I was a pop fan, like a lot of other kids, and I went along, and the curtains opened, and I went, wow. And I said, they're going to be bigger than Elvis.
You knew it right then and there.
Instantly, you know. And I used to work on the railroad, and they used to do lunchtime sessions at the Cavern. I used to jump on the train and go and watch them, and they just got better and better, and I always knew they'd do it.
Apparently those lunchtime sessions were a big thing, right? Frida Kahlo, everybody would go to those lunchtime sessions.
That's right, yeah.
Interesting. Want to take one more call?
Absolutely.
Mark.
Beatle Mark, are you there?
I am here.
Hello, Mark.
Hello, how are you, Mr. Kramer?
I'm Billy.
Ooh, Mr. Kramer. Wow. We're very respectful here on Breakfast.
I know, but I'm Billy, you know.
I'd sure like you to talk about your experience at the Tammy Show. I was there.
The Tammy Show?
Yes.
The Tammy Show was a wonderful experience, and one of the things that I won't forget, you know, there was just so many stars there, and, you know, unfortunately, the thing I remember mostly was that James Brown was absolutely unbelievable and blew the roof off. And I felt so sorry for the Rolling Stones having to follow James Brown. They didn't look, you know, I felt really sorry.
It was tough, yeah.
It was tough. I wouldn't have liked it. I'm glad I was on early, you know.
Speaking of shows, you were also on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yes.
But back up a little bit and tell me, because I always love to ask people from Britain what they had heard about the Ed Sullivan Show prior. Did you even know this guy existed before the Beatles were on, or
no,
after you all heard?
I didn't know, and believe it or not, I was off somewhere, maybe on vacation in the Canaries. I didn't really know what happened,
right,
the whole thing. And I'm glad, because when I did that Sullivan Show, I went on and I wasn't nervous and I just did it. If I'd have known how many people were watching it, I think I'd have run out the building.
What did you think of Ed when you met him, though? Did you wonder how this guy had his own show?
And I just thought that the man obviously had this gift of knowing talents and picking the right talents. I didn't say a lot to him, I saw him at the dress rehearsal and he said hello and he announced me, and that was about it. And I was very shocked after the show when everything closed down, because when you're actually on stage there, you feel you're in a much bigger place.
But sure, yeah.
When all the lights were up and I walked out and saw how small it was, I was like, wow.
Well, yeah, TV is always very deceiving.
Yeah.
You want to hang out? Meet Billy J. Kramer. He's going to be hanging at the Rock and Roll Autograph Show from, maybe around 10:30 when he gets down there till 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's on 5400 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. If you're going to use your MapQuest or something, it's 90045 is the zip code for the Westin Los Angeles Airport Hotel. I'm going to play a song you might never have heard before. This is a song called In Liverpool by Paul McCartney. All now, right. Ringo has a song called In Liverpool as well.
Yes.
He did three songs about Liverpool, a little trilogy there. But this one is recorded live by Paul, and I thought you might enjoy it.
Yeah.
This is Paul McCartney right here on Breakfast with the Beatles. Yeah, the acoustic Liverpudlian sounds of James Paul McCartney for your Sunday morning as we hang with Billy J. Kramer. Hey, Billy.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Paul McCartney singing about Liverpool.
Yeah.
All you guys sing about Liverpool.
Well, it was just something that I felt that I had to do, you know.
And did you said you sent Paul a copy of your new song?
Yeah, I've never bothered with him things like that in the past, but I sent it to him, and he sent back and said, "You really captured the moment and the times, and I wish you lots of luck."
Oh, wow. And you've been talking to Ringo, too, recently?
I've been talking to Ringo from time to time, you know.
How about Pete Best? Were you ever tight with him?
I met Pete. I saw Pete in the early days with the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. But how about afterwards?
I've seen Pete on lots of occasions and spoke to him. He's a very nice person. You know, he's a great person.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And it's so weird that none of the Beatles have ever spoken to him since, from what we understand.
I don't know about that. And, you know, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
It's their business. I was a bit shocked when it happened. I was in Liverpool at the time, and I was a bit shocked by it.
Yeah. You know. Because he was a good drummer.
He was a good drummer. You know, I just thought, at the time, I thought, well, it's their band. It's, you know, it's none of my business what
right,
they do.
Right. I mean, he's no Liberty DeVito, but he's a good drummer.
No, he's not a Liberty
By the way,
DeVito,
Liberty right? DeVito is Billy's drummer from Billy Joel's band, so I just thought we'd mention that.
He is unbelievable.
Billy, I got your new album, In My Hand.
Right.
Want to pick a song and we'll play it?
I
see a Lennon McCartney song here that I got my eye on.
Well, that's the one I was talking about, I'm in Love, which I've redid for the album. I thought it'd be nice to do it. And
again, this was one that you could have possibly done back in the day.
I could have done back in the day, but I didn't. You know.
It got out of your grasp, the Foremost got it, but you're doing it again now.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you, the Foremost did, they were more like a band that did Four Seasons songs and things like that.
Right.
And I thought I'd do it a bit more, with a bit more edge to it, like I think John would have liked it to be.
Billy J. Kramer for your Sunday morning, doing a little Lennon McCartney. Here we go. Billy J. Kramer doing Lennon McCartney's I'm in Love from his album I Won the Fight. Billy J. Kramer, you can see him today at the Rock and Roll Autograph Show at the Western Los Angeles Airport on West Century Boulevard. Great band there.
Great band there, yes. I've been working with these guys for about 5 years now, called The Rising, you know, of Liberty on drums. Muddy Shoes, who was with Southside Johnny.
Muddy Shoes from New Jersey?
Yes.
No way.
He's on bass.
Come on, he's from Wayne, New Jersey. He's from the town I grew up in. Yeah. That Muddy Shoes.
Adam Roth on guitar. And Andy.
Huh. Muddy Shoes from Wayne, New Jersey. He went to Wayne Hills High School. He's like a kid that we knew. He was like 5 years younger, and now he's playing with Billy J. Kramer. How about that?
Yeah.
And we got your website, BillyJKramer.com. How'd you get that name? Very good.
BillyJKramer.com. Nice.
Yeah, no one took it, huh?
And, I would love people to come and check me out on Facebook, you know.
Check them out on Facebook and go hang out with them today again at the Rock and Roll Autograph Show, 5400 West Century Boulevard, right?
Yeah.
Billy, thank you so much for coming in on a Sunday morning.
It's a pleasure. You know, I love coming along and talking about all these things.
Well, the door is open anytime. And if you ever come play in Los Angeles, come on back and play on the show.
I would love to play on the show.
Billy J. Kramer, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more from John Paul, George, and Ringo, and maybe some more from Billy J. Stick around.